What is memory reconsolidation? A long-term memory is not permanently fixed. When it is reactivated, recalled, or triggered, it drops back into a fragile, label state and has to be biologically resaved or reconsolidated to survive. This was shown when a protein synthesis blocker infused into the amygdala after a rat retrieved a fear memory erased it. Nader, Schaaf, and Ledoux, 2000. The reconsolidation window, a few hours, is a door. A memory can be weakened with the beta blocker propranolol, Kind et al., 2009, updated with new learning while it is open, Schiller et al., 2010, or at the therapeutic frontier, revisited under MDMA so a trauma can be restored without its terror, Fiducia and Mithoefer, 2018. For most of the 20th century, neuroscience believed memory worked in one direction. An experience was first held in a fragile short-term form, then, over hours, biochemically hardened into a stable, long-term trace, a process called consolidation. Once consolidated, the memory was thought to be essentially permanent. It could fade or be overwritten by newer learning, but the original trace itself was locked. This is why the discovery that reactivating a memory could throw it back into a fragile, rewritable state was so startling. It meant memory is not a recording at all. It is a living reconstruction, rebuilt and quietly revised every single time it is used. The experiment that broke the recording. In 2000, Karim Nader, working in Joseph Ledoux's lab at New York University, ran an experiment that many senior scientists expected to fail. The prevailing dogma was that a consolidated memory was permanent. Nader wanted to test something heretical. What if recalling a stable old memory made it temporarily unstable again? He used a classic fear conditioning setup. Rats learned that a tone predicted a mild foot shock, forming a durable fear memory that lives in the amygdala. A day later, long after the memory had consolidated, he played the tone to reactivate the memory and then infused a drug called anisomycin, which blocks the synthesis of new proteins directly into the amygdala. Proteins are the physical bricks the brain uses to stabilize a memory trace. Block them at the wrong moment and a memory cannot set. Nader, Schaaf, and Ledoux, 2000. The result overturned the dogma. Simply retrieving the old, fully consolidated memory had pushed it back into a fragile state that once again depended on protein synthesis. Blocking those proteins during that window did not just prevent new learning, it erased the original fear. Rats that had reactivated the memory and received anisomycin behaved as if the tone had never meant danger. Crucially, rats that received the very same drug without first reactivating the memory kept their fear intact. The memory only became vulnerable once it had been opened. The brain, it turned out, does not simply read a memory when it recalls it. It rewrites it. And in the moment of rewriting, the memory is exposed. Consolidation, then reconsolidation. To see why this matters, it helps to separate two processes. Consolidation is the original hardening. A fresh experience, initially fragile, is stabilized over hours into a lasting trace. Reconsolidation is what happens afterward. Each time that stable trace is reactivated, it destabilizes and must be restabilized all over again. The same molecular machinery that first built the memory is called back to resave it. Why would evolution build memory this way, deliberately risking a precious trace every time it is used? The leading answer is that reconsolidation is not a bug, but the entire point. It is the mechanism that keeps memory relevant. The world changes. A memory formed last year may need updating in light of what you learned today. By briefly reopening a memory whenever it is retrieved, the brain gives itself a chance to fold in new information, to revise the map rather than keep a stale copy. Memory is reconstructive precisely so that it can stay useful. The cost of that flexibility is that memory is also always a little bit editable. UTW psilocybin mushroom treats. Prying the window open, the beta blocker. If reactivation makes a memory editable, the obvious and provocative question is whether we can use that window on purpose to weaken memories that cause suffering. You cannot infuse a protein synthesis blocker into a human amygdala. But there is a gentler tool. The emotional charge of a fear memory is stamped in partly through noradrenaline, the brain's stress chemical, acting on the amygdala. Propranolol is a common, safe beta blocker that crosses into the brain and blunts noradrenaline's action. In 2009, Merrill Kint and colleagues in Amsterdam ran the landmark human study. Volunteers learned to fear a picture of a spider paired with a shock, a measurable fear response indexed by the eye-blink startle reflex. The next day, the researchers briefly showed the picture to reactivate the memory and gave either propranolol or a placebo, opening the reconsolidation window on a drug that would interfere with the emotional resaving. A day later, they tested again. In the placebo group, the fear response was intact. In the propranolol group, the startle fear response was gone, and it stayed gone, resisting the manipulations that normally make extinguished fear come roaring back. Kint et al., 2009. Tellingly, the participants still remembered the association. They knew the spider had predicted shock. What had been erased was the memory's emotional grip, not its content. The fact had been kept. The fear had been rewritten out. Updating without drugs? Reactivate, then relearn. You do not necessarily need a drug at all. If the window opens on retrieval, then perhaps simply feeding the brain new safe information while the memory is labeled could let that safety be written into the original trace, not layered on top of it, the way ordinary fear extinction works, but stitched into the memory itself. In 2010, Daniela Schiller, working with Ledoux and Elizabeth Phelps, tested exactly this in humans, Schiller et al. In 2010. Participants were fear conditioned. Then the next day, the memory was reactivated with a single reminder. For one group, standard extinction training, seeing the cue repeatedly with no shock, was given inside the reconsolidation window, minutes after the reminder. For another, the same training was given hours later, after the window had closed. The difference was durable and dramatic. When extinction happened within the window, the fear did not return, not the next day and not a year later. When it happened outside the window, fear came back the way it usually does. The implication is remarkable. By timing new learning to the moment a memory is open, you can rewrite a maladaptive emotional memory using nothing but information, no medication required. This is often called the retrieval extinction or reconsolidation update procedure. Join the OOTW sacrament, the oldest prayer, remembered, the gentle dissolving of the self into light, held in ceremony by a master facilitator. Sit with our community first, a free live weekly circle on Zoom. No commitment, simply a conversation. The frontier, MDMA and the traumatic memory. Now bring these threads together and the therapeutic promise comes into focus. Trauma, in a sense, is a memory that reconsolidates badly. Each time a survivor of trauma is reminded of what happened, the memory reactivates, but rather than being re-saved with new safety information, it is re-stamped again and again with overwhelming fear, reconsolidating the terror deeper each time. The reconsolidation window in post-traumatic stress disorder becomes a trap. This is the logic behind MDMA-assisted therapy. MDMA does something no beta blocker can. It changes the emotional state a person is in while the memory is open. It raises oxytocin and serotonin, dampens the fear-driven reactivity of the amygdala, and produces a felt sense of safety, trust, and self-compassion. Andrew Fiducia and Michael Mithofer argued that this is precisely why MDMA works. It allows a patient, held in a state of security, to reactivate a traumatic memory, opening the reconsolidation window, and then restore that memory fused with new information. That they are safe now, that they survived, that the memory can be approached without being destroyed by it, Fiducia and Mithofer, 2018. The mechanism they proposed is a combination of enhanced fear extinction and reconsolidation. The trauma is not deleted, but the terror welded to it is loosened, and the memory is refiled as something that happened rather than something that is still happening. The drug also promotes neuroplasticity, potentially widening the window in which such rewriting is possible. A memory that can heal is a memory that can be changed. There is a deep continuity across all of these findings. Nader showed the window exists. Kint showed a drug can weaken what passes through it. Schiller showed that information alone, well-timed, can update it. And the psychedelic therapy researchers are betting that the right emotional state, safety, openness, self-compassion, is the most powerful update of all. In every case, the principle is identical. To change a memory, you must first reactivate it and then act while it is briefly soft. This reframes what good therapy has perhaps always been doing. Talk therapy, exposure therapy, the slow work of revisiting a painful event with a trusted other and coming away feeling slightly differently about it, these may all be at bottom reconsolidation. The therapeutic act is to bring a memory into the open and give the brain something new to save with it. What neuroscience has added is the mechanism, the timing, and a set of tools, pharmacological and psychological, for doing it deliberately and well. The honest cautions. The excitement here needs guardrails. Reconsolidation is robust in animal fear conditioning, but in humans it is more finicky than the headlines suggest. The window does not always open, and whether a memory becomes label depends on boundary conditions. How old and strong the memory is, how surprising the reactivation, exactly how long the reminder lasts. The Shiller retrieval extinction result in particular has not always replicated cleanly across labs, and researchers are still mapping when it works and when it does not. Propranolol's effects on human fear memory have been reported by some groups and not others. The clinical picture is genuinely promising but must be stated carefully. MDMA-assisted therapy for PTSD has shown strong results in trials, but the reconsolidation account of why it works is a well-supported hypothesis, not a proven mechanism. The therapy's benefits almost certainly also flow through the therapeutic relationship, extinction, and plasticity. And the flip side of an editable memory is a sobering one. If memories can be weakened or updated, they can in principle be distorted. And the ethics of deliberately altering someone's memories, even to relieve suffering, deserve real care. MDMA is a controlled substance, is not safe for everyone, and these treatments belong in supervised clinical settings, not self-experiment. The past is not fixed. We tend to believe we are the sum of our memories, that the past is done, recorded, immutable, and that we simply carry it. The science of reconsolidation offers a more hopeful and more accurate picture. The past you carry is not a recording, but a reconstruction, rebuilt every time you visit it, and therefore, within limits, revisable. A memory that has held you in fear for decades is not a life sentence written in stone. It is a trace that becomes briefly soft each time it surfaces, waiting for something new to be written alongside it. That is not a license to rewrite history at will. The window is narrow and the cautions are real, but it is a profound reason for hope. The mind was built to update itself. Under the right conditions, even our oldest wounds can be reopened gently and re-saved lighter than before. UTW. Journal is educational and does not provide medical advice. Memory reconsolidation research in humans is active and its clinical applications, including MDMA-assisted therapy, are still under investigation. Psychedelics and related compounds are controlled substances, are not safe for everyone, including people with a personal or family history of psychosis or bipolar disorder. And nothing here is a recommendation to use them or to attempt to alter memories outside professional care.